Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please hit the like button. Please subscribe, because we're about to break down not Barca use, but the Super League. I'm Adam. I'm here with my co-host, Yusuf.
Hey, guys. What's up?
And we've been planning this video on the Super League since Sunday night when all of this kind of came out. And then we kept waiting for Laporta to speak and to get a clearer picture of Barcelona's role. And then suddenly Tuesday, the most silent day of the week usually, is when everything started to crumble and the Super League collapsed on us, right, Yus? And so, you know, what happened was in the morning we started to hear grumblings that, you know, Man City might be out and Man United and maybe Atletico, right? And I think a lot of the catalyst was our good old friend Pep Guardiola coming out and giving an interview basically saying that he does not support the Super League. Then you had Marcus Rashford make a post on social media, you know, decrying the way that the Super League is stealing football away from the fans. And then, boom, kind of the dam broke, right? All the English teams basically left. And that leaves us in this weird spot where the Super League itself is officially suspended, so I don't think there's any imminent plan that they can go forward with right now. But, you know, the Italian teams, except for Inter Milan, really haven't officially left. And then certainly the La Liga teams, as of the time of this recording, haven't exactly left, which makes me wonder exactly where Barcelona are in this suspended league.
Sure. I mean, let's also talk about that the chairman of the Super League is our nemesis, Mr. Florentino Perez, right? So he's out there, he's scheming. Somehow he talked about it was easy to convince Laporta to get into this thing. And
well, what do you think? You know, Laporta, right? This is what's happening. Is Laporta has essentially come out today in reports that you must think are from him, now saying that the Super League must be voted on by the socios of Barca for us to get in. What do you think about that report coming out today?
I'm like really on the I wouldn't even say on the fence. I'm on the side that Laporta, he's playing this. He's spinning a narrative in a sense, right? Sunday there was official statements from FC Barcelona saying, "Oh, you know, we're part of the Super League. Let's kind of like get into this. We're already signed on with these 12 other teams that we're going to talk about." But there was no mention of a vote. There was no mention of this is, you know, contingent
up
on anything.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, well, he had so much time to make that statement. Oh, this, you know, we're still a vote. But then he comes out today saying it's up to a vote. And then that's kind of after everything starts to crumble, right? So it seems like it was a narrative being put out at the time when he didn't want to get backed into a corner and be kind of blamed for this. As we saw, the Manchester United chairman had stepped down.
Yeah, Woodward, so, he's gone,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, Agnelli in Italy for Juventus also reports, not confirmed, that he might be leaving as well, which is interesting, Yus, because, you know, for a lot of the people who we ingest Barca comments from, right, and people we respect, you know, a lot of people love Laporta, so I like that you're coming out here with this hot take that he's jumping off this ship. You know, it leaves me kind of confused because on the one hand, right, if the situation must be that, you know, Barca are going to leave, I'm glad that, you know, Laporta was able to kind of come up with this narrative to save face. But then, you know, at the same time, I'm not sure if I don't take him at face value and think that, you know, he truly always intended it to be that way. There are some reports out there saying that Bartomeu joined the Super League without any qualifications, and that when Laporta became president, he came and said, hey, we're not going to join the Super League unless, one, we're able to, you know, it has to be ratified by the socios, and two, if they don't ratify it, we can leave without a payment. And so it should be interesting as the days and weeks go by to hear more official words from the club and Laporta and see, you know, kind of how things shake out, because, you know, what can't be lost here is Florentino Perez has some real, you know, pie on his face, right?
I
mean, he came out and he gave that interview last night to, you know, on Spain, on the big TV show, and he was saying a lot of things about how the Super League can't be dissolved and how, you know, projecting this aura of strength and confidence. And, you know, it came off really egotistical, especially when the fact that so many fans and players and coaches had come out saying that, you know, this is a really bad idea, which we're going to get into a little bit, right? So why don't we first take a step back and explain the Super League and explain kind of how this whole thing got going, right? So on Sunday night, we basically got the news that 12 teams had come out and joined this Super League that essentially was going to try and rival the Champions League as the main European competition. Mm-hmm. And out of Italy, we had Juventus, AC Milan, Inter Milan. Out of Spain, we had Real Madrid, FC Barcelona, and Atletico Madrid. And then in England, we had this, you know, so-called Big Six, even though most of these teams aren't making the Champions League this season, which is, you know, part of why there's so much distress about it. But Man U, Man City, Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Liverpool, right? Mm-hmm. And so, Yus, why don't you kind of just walk us through how this whole Super League was supposed to play out in comparison to the Champions League that we currently have?
Sure. So to start off, it was going to be 20 teams. 50 of them were already signed up, which are the teams you just mentioned. Those teams were permanent. They would not be able to be relegated. The other five spots were open to invitation. So, you know, that cuts out kind of a little bit of competition there. Those teams can't leave. And then there's two groups of 10 teams. Each team would play twice, home and away, against the other teams of that group as kind of like their group stage in comparison to the Champions League. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, they would go into the top four teams would then go into a knockout stage, somewhat like the quarterfinals and the finals or semifinals and finals of the Champions League. And they would be playing that in a short 4-week period, you know, around the spring, May, April time.
Sure.
But that was the
main setup.
You know
what's interesting is that, yeah, what's kind of confusing about this whole thing is, like you're saying, so there's 12 teams that signed on that I listed. Then there was supposed to be 15 teams who would be invited no matter what. And so the main thinking was that Bayern Munich, PSG, right, are obviously the two biggest teams who were missing from those 12. So they were assumed those two would join. And then Borussia Dortmund would also join from Germany. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like you were saying, the last remaining five teams, it wasn't exactly sure if it would be like a merit-based qualification that could change each year. But so I think that's a good outline of the Super League, right? Now, mm-hmm. It's very interesting because there are some huge factors about this new Super League that contrast with the Champions League, right? The biggest one being the lack of relegation for these big 15 teams, right? And, you know, I think that was a point that really got a lot of people mad because, you know, there's no fight for the top four anymore, right? Like Sevilla, as we all know watching this La Liga race, even though we talk about so much Barca, Atletico, and Real Madrid, like Sevilla are like, what, 2 points behind Real Madrid? Like they have a real chance if, you know, the quote-unquote big three in La Liga buffle it to take first. And then could you imagine the league leader of, you know, La Liga not making it in? And yet, you know, if let's say Atletico have a bad year, they could make it even though they're number 10 in La Liga. So I think that's one thing that made people mad. And I think the other big thing that must be said about the Super League is that it was going to be a huge infusion of cash into these teams, right? I think the initial permanent members would each get 400 million euros to start with.
So they had a huge incentive.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because, like, you know, you look at the Premier League right now, and in third place is Leicester, and in fourth place is West Ham, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, even though we're in this age of, you know, billionaire owners taking over soccer teams and boosting these crazy transfer values and these contracts and really, you know, making it harder for smaller teams to compete, I mean, look at the table. You have Leicester and West Ham in the top four in the Premier League, and if all of a sudden Arsenal, who have been pretty, you know, poor this entire season, get $400 million to just spend on new players and transfers, it's just going to really dilute the ability of any smaller teams to compete, right? And so I think this is a good segue into kind of some of the arguments against the Super League. Yus, what do you think about some of the arguments, even though there are just so many that we heard from all over the soccer world this last few days?
Sure. Since we're on the topic of money, right, if you look at some of these teams that you're mentioning, even Barcelona in this case, they're in debt, right? Tottenham's in debt. Tottenham is doing terrible. They just sacked Mourinho, right? They're down $600 million, mostly due to their stadium rebuild. And that team, and you're talking about comparison and how some of these smaller teams don't really get a chance and how, you know, Arsenal's so low. Tottenham in itself is not doing well. Why is Tottenham one of the 15 teams that are going to be permanent in this Super League? It makes no sense, right? So, but to go back to the money, it's a money grab, right? The biggest thing about these things is that they're going to be able to sell rights on TV. So at the end of the day, like, if these 15 teams have those rights and it can be spread all over the world, some of the biggest names are in these or would be on this platform: FC Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, right? Like all these teams, that's just a huge money grab. So I think that is, it's not really like a thing for the players. It's not a thing for the fans. Obviously, all the fans are against it. I haven't seen anything where people have been talking or any fans been talking positively about it. I don't see any players talking positively about it.
I think along with what you're saying, like, yeah, like not only the initial money would be crazy, but so would all the subsequent money mm-hmm. for TV deals. And again, that would really dilute the ability of us to see a Leicester City, right, who 5 years ago won the Premier League in kind of a Cinderella story, right? If they're trying to compete against an Arsenal who that year, you know, probably could have won, if they had Arsenal $400 million that year, they surely would have been able to buy players sure. that, you know, Leicester could never afford. And it would really just put out competition, right?
I mean, like, Manchester City was like just, that.
Well, true, but, you know, yeah. before that's a good point, too. But before we go there, like, you know, we play some of these teams in La Liga, Real Sociedad, right? Mm-hmm. Athletic Bilbao, Villarreal, Valencia, Sevilla, like, all these teams really could take it and beat Arsenal or Tottenham right now, mm-hmm. I think, right? And so the fact that arbitrarily these, you know, quote unquote, big six in England have anointed themselves as, you know, major players who get all this money really is just, like you said, a money grab in a way that's going to stifle competition. And then following up, you made a good point about Man City, right? It's not that long ago that Man City were not a top 5-6 team in mm-hmm. England. And so, you know, if you just let all of these teams become monopolies and choose their own, you know, rich boys club and take all the money, you don't have the possibility for a team like Manchester City to grow out of, you know, the ashes and become a huge club. And so it would really just create an atmosphere where no other teams had a chance to grow and compete with the big mm-hmm. clubs.
Now, one last,
you know,
go ahead. Please. Well, I was going to say the one last thing here is that we didn't mention was that the UEFA, would ban some of these players that participated in these teams from the World Cup, from the Champions League, right? The World Cup is one of those huge things, and yeah, of course they make money off of this stuff, but like, that's pride for your country. A lot of these players would not be happy, including Lionel Messi, if they couldn't represent their country.
Yeah, heard it here first.
Very true.
No, you're totally right, and yeah. I think, you know, overall, there's also an element of like JP Morgan financing mm-hmm. the tournament and kind of the influence of American investments and American,
true.
You know, capitalism mm-hmm. and theories of soccer that don't really apply to how it might if you're in England, right? Because, you know, in America, our teams don't have a relegation fight, which means that sometimes you just get teams that are just awful for a long time and there's no real incentive for them to change things unless, you know, they can basically... You can do a full real rebuild in American sports and suck for 10 years just to get some good draft picks
sure.
and save some money so you can buy some big players, right? You know, Yus and I, we talk about it sometimes. We're out here in Southern California. I'm an Anaheim Angels fan. They've been trashed for the last 10 years. And, like, you know, the relegation fear or the fear of not making top four, that at least made it so you had to fight every year for something, right? Like,
sure.
the fact that Arsenal or Tottenham might not make the Champions League this year means that they're going to really lose out money-wise, and that's going to, like, further incentivize them that they have to compete next year even harder.
Mm-hmm.
But let's switch gears. Arguments for the Super League, right, Yus, which is not something that's very popular or very big, but I think there are some things that should be said.
Sure.
And I think the first one is, you know, it's a little bit sad as a viewer to not see big teams play more frequently, right? I mean, you think about Barca and you think about the last few years and like, okay, we've played PSG, we've played Liverpool, you know, we've played Man U once, but like how many times have we played Man City?
Sure.
You know, we've played Juventus in some group stages, but like the last time before that was, you know, a few years ago in the quarterfinals. How often do we play like Inter Milan or AC Milan? There is an element here that, you know, the bigger teams don't get to play enough for how much casual fans might enjoy it. You know, the Super League seemed like too far of an overreach into fixing that problem. But,
sure.
you know, we already saw that the Champions League is looking to make some adjustments mm-hmm. so that they can, you know, make it more friendly.
Exactly.
And I think that's really what people should focus on is like, how do we make the Champions League have more big teams play each other in the group stages, perhaps? You know, how do we get more exciting games all the time amongst Europe's bigger teams? And, you know, besides the round of 16, even then, you know, there's some smaller teams there. But besides the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, you don't get to see big European teams play each other. And so I would like for there to be a path to seeing more big teams playing each other. And then, you know, the other argument I hear, which is not really an argument, but it's like you know, you're as a fan and a neutral, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place because, okay, the Super League seems super corrupt with all these, you know, big team owners trying to make mm-hmm. more and more money. On the same time, you know, you don't want to be on FIFA and UEFA's side, right? They are taking bribes for the World Cup. They are having, you know, this World Cup in Qatar with all these human rights abuses. And so it's not exactly a good argument to say, like, oh, well, those guys, you know, UEFA and FIFA are bad, so the Super League is good. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Sure.
But it should be said that, you know, we're not dealing with some, you know, super above board, clean, you know, generous, nice parties on the UEFA and FIFA side.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, I'm not defending them in any manner here, right? But they're the governing body at the moment. And if we do want to make changes to that governing body, it doesn't mean just start a new corrupt system, right? Something that still marginalizes these smaller teams, that still creates unfairness, that still isolates, you know, any possibility of actual competition, right? So world soccer is about competition. It's not about making money. Yes, granted, it is a business. I understand that these teams do need to make money, but they're going to make money. It's not, I mean, to touch on some of the things you said a little bit early about, you know, paying these, gaining the money, making money for these big teams, you have to realize that they are mismanaging the money in some sense, right? You know, offering 40,
right? Barcelona.
Sure. Sorry, offering $40 million for Philippe Coutinho, wasted. We paid mm-hmm. as much as I love Dembele. We paid over $100 million for Dembele.
Hey. Get the Dembele slander off.
I know. I said as much as I love him. You know, Messi's contract came out, I think, with before bonuses, $90 million. I read an article where Barcelona had extended their offices on a large plan, right? They're in debt $1 billion right now. Of course, it's due to coronavirus. I know it is hard times, but does that mean you then lose all your values? Do you go against everything you talked about? No. I don't think that should ever be a situation, right? At the end of the day, everything will bounce back eventually. This is like kind of a short-sighted thing in my eyes that they would kind of give in to the temptations of something like the Super League, where so much money is so shoved in their face that it's almost like, well, we'd be stupid not to take it. I mean, the villain is Florentino whispering in Laporta's ear.
Always.
But yeah.
Well, yeah, and you know, speaking about Florentino, there was some more stuff we were going to cover what happened in the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the Super League has kind of imploded on itself, some of that's less relevant. But, you know, Florentino, like we said, had that big interview. He was just lying through his teeth saying that COVID-related losses caused this Super League mm-hmm. to come about, which is not really true because they've been talking about it for, you know, more than 5 years, right? He was also saying some crazy things about how young fans are less interested and how maybe the games need to be shorter than 90 minutes, which sounds a lot like what we experience here in America with baseball and, like, how the game is too slow. But I don't think soccer is anywhere near that, and I'm not even sure he's correct in saying that younger fans are losing interest, right? I mean, especially coming from America, it's a sport that's only growing every single month.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, we see more and more people wearing Madrid or Barca or Liverpool or Man City clothes all around, which, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't something we saw growing up 10, 15 years ago.
Not at all. I mean, I saw two guys at the gym this week wearing FC Barcelona gear. You know, I never saw that. I've been working out for years and, you know, 10 plus years here, and I didn't see that. But
well, I think that is about it, Yus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for watching. Again, if you can, please tell your friends to subscribe. Please like our videos. If you are one of our podcast listeners and you made it all the way to the end here, it would mean a lot to Yus and I if you could go onto YouTube.
Please.
Barca Breakdown is our YouTube handle, one word. Please like and subscribe our videos. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, guys.